Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into another edition of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Matt Peck, also host of the Bulls Outsiders postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls and follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for our Bulls fans. 24/7, 365. Hit us up with your Bulls thoughts, questions, comments, and we will get to them in our weekly mailbag segments. That number again, 331-979-1369. But as I said, I'm your host, Matt Peck. Jordan is off today. Hopefully we will get together later this week for that mailbag episode. You guys have been great keeping those questions and comments coming all offseason long. I know we're in the dog days of the NBA offseason, but hey, good news is that since the last time we talked, the calendar turned over. We made it out of August and we are into September. So we're getting closer. It doesn't feel like it, but it actually is getting closer. We're right around, actually, we just surpassed the 50-day mark until NBA's opening night. Less than 50 days away. We are in the same month when Bulls Media Day happens. That's happening, I believe, September 30th. So that's only 27 days away. We're getting closer. At least we're getting closer to Bulls Media Day, Bulls training camp, and Bulls exhibition games in that NBA preseason slate. In the meantime, I thought I would check in with y'all today to talk a little bit about the FIBA World Cup, what's been going on there, not only with Team USA, but some of the Bulls representing their respective nations, Thomas Satoransky playing for the Czech Republic, and the newly goggle-faced Cristiano Felicio holding things down in the post for the Brazilian national team. And then at the back end of today's episode, I'll touch on the latest hilarity from NBA 2K and their rankings of NBA players and their abilities. Somehow Zach LaVine finishing second in the category of best dunkers in NBA 2K. Second. And behind who? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. So first, as I said, FIBA World Cup, it's been at least giving us Hoops fans something to watch and something to do if you are willing to wake up at the crack of dawn to watch some FIBA World Cup basketball. I've been watching some of these games live, and when I'm not able to, I've been going back and watching as many of them as possible after the fact on tape delay. And we did see the USA team squeak out their closest margin of victory in a international competition, whether that be Olympics or FIBA World Cup, ever. They needed overtime and they beat Turkey by one. 93-92 was the final on Tuesday morning as the U.S. wins their second game of group play. They finish group play against Japan later this week, but man, they survived a scare and probably should have lost this game. The Turkish national team missed four straight free throws in overtime. And Bucks star Chris Middleton, who has been playing for Team USA, sank two free throws with a couple of seconds left. And then his Bucks teammate, Ersan Ilyasova, who was just killing Team USA in this game this morning, missed a contested three at the buzzer to seal the win for Team USA. Not pretty. Definitely not pretty. Probably should have been a loss. It would have been the first loss for Team USA in competitive play between Olympics and FIBA World Cup games since 2006. 44-game win streak on the line that was nearly snapped this morning. Now, we all were talking about the possible vulnerability of this USA roster coming into FIBA World Cup just because of the huge number of star NBA players who decided to decline the invitation originally to play for Team USA, or after initially showing up for the first stages of Team USA's camp this summer, at one point or another, as they got closer to the tournament itself and those exhibition games traveling on their way out there, decided to withdraw from the team activities. Some because of minor nagging injuries that they would want to focus on getting healthy for their upcoming NBA season. And some even without injury, just deciding to withdraw. Most of them also still just citing trying to stay healthy for the upcoming NBA season. And in this game on Tuesday morning between USA and Turkey, we saw what can happen. We saw the risk that these NBA players take to participate in non-NBA games, as Celtics young star Jason Tatum suffered what looked like a pretty nasty ankle injury in the latter stages of this game. Now, successive reports have come out after the conclusion of the game that make it sound like this ankle injury from Tatum is not too bad, not too serious. But oh my goodness, what if it was? We saw that happen with Paul George playing for Team USA several years ago when he suffered a gruesome leg injury falling into the stanchion. It's a risk that these players take, and it's a weighted decision of, do I want to play for Team USA? Do I want to represent my country and go play in this tournament among other international talents? Or do I want my focus to be on my NBA team and the NBA season that lies just a month and a half away? So we saw what that risk is when Tatum went down in this morning's game against Turkey. But I mean, if other than highlighting what exactly that risk is and what that risk is that these NBA players are taking to play for Team USA, the other thing we saw in this game, USA-Turkey, is that the USA team is far from a shoe-in to win this tournament. They lost to Australia in one of those exhibition games leading up to the tournament. And they nearly lost this morning. They, as I said, they should have lost this morning. Even though they led pretty much the entire game, it was a close score throughout. They never managed to pull away. And Turkey took the lead late in the game. A lot of things had to fall USA's way to come away with a win. Tatum fouled trying to make a go-ahead three-pointer. He made two of the three ensuing free throws just to force overtime because USA had coughed up the lead. And as I mentioned, Turkey went on to miss four consecutive free throws in that extra period, which allowed which allowed Team USA and those Chris Middleton free throws to seal the victory. But I mean, my goodness. It shows you that when the biggest stars that play in the NBA who are USA players withdraw, and people made their jokes about this Team USA roster and its lack of stars. I mean, a couple of all-stars, Chris Middleton and Kemba Walker. And, you know, outside of that, there's not a whole lot. Harrison Barnes has previous experience playing for Team USA in the Olympics. But, like, that's about it. A lot of it is other young guys or, you know, NBA veteran role players constituting this roster. And even with Greg Popovich at the helm, they are vulnerable to not win this tournament. it does also go to show you that international basketball, the caliber of talent has risen steadily over the last couple of decades. Everybody remembers fondly what most people would agree with no debate, the greatest basketball team ever assembled, the 92 Dream Team, featuring our very own MJ and Scotty, among a bunch of other first ballot Hall of Famers and NBA juggernaut stars at the time, blowing out teams by an average of 30 points a game. And when Team USA and its roster is represented by the biggest, brightest stars in the NBA, and even missing some, but a significantly better roster in the most recent Olympics, when you had people like Kevin Durant and Jimmy Butler and DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie and all those guys playing, then yeah, they are still the best of the best, hands down, no contest. But some of these international squads that have NBA caliber talent on them, like this Turkey team that USA almost lost to this morning, you know, I mentioned Dursun Ilyasova, Furkan Korkmaz of the Sixers, another member of that Turkish national team, and other international teams that have NBA talent. The Serbian national team, of course, loaded with NBA talent. And that Czech Republic team led by new Bulls free agent addition Tomas Satoransky. So let's get to him now. Because Satoransky has looked pretty darn good in his games playing for the Czech Republic. The USA beat the Czech Republic a few days ago and did so fairly handily. But Satoransky looked great in that game. He really did. He finished with 17 points on 7 of 13 shooting, knocked down 1 of 2 three-point attempts, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, added 5 assists and a couple of rebounds, did turn the ball over 4 times, but certainly looked like the best piece of that Czech Republic team. And you saw it when he did sub out. He played 20, he ended up leading the team in minutes, and when he was on the bench resting, the Czech Republic really struggled to do much of anything on either end. And you saw a lot of the ways that Satoransky can help this Bulls roster this season. He displayed a lot of those variety of talents that he has, not only leading an offensive unit at the point guard spot, but moving well without the ball, playing well off the ball, displaying his great court vision, displaying his ability to break guys down off the dribble and attack the basket. He even had a really impressive and one going left when I believe Kemba Walker was guarding him. And then, of course, that ferocious dunk that made the rounds on NBA Twitter shortly after that game happened. Came off a quick little screen, took the ball, flew down the lane, hammered it home with authority, showcasing his ability to score in a lot of different ways and make his teammates better in a lot of different ways. And that's what Bulls fans are excited about with this addition of Satoransky, and why I believe, and I think those who can see the picture clearly would agree with me, Satoransky's this Bulls unit's starting point guard for the upcoming season. Not Chris Dunn, not Kobe White, Satoransky. And then in their next game against Japan, which happened also earlier this morning, Tuesday morning, the Czech Republic got a pretty convincing win. 89-76 was the final. Satoransky played 35 and a half minutes in this one. Didn't shoot quite as well from the field. Finished with 15 points on 5 of 13 shooting. 1 of 4 from behind the three-point line, but did get to the free throw line more. Was 4 of 5 from the free throw line. And then the rest of his line is really what's impressive. 6 rebounds, 7 assists, also chipped in 3 steals, and only turned the ball over 1 time. Really thorough performance. Once again, led his Czech Republic national team in minutes played. They got 22 points apiece from Jaromir Bojacik and Blake Schilb, if I'm pronouncing those correctly. So Satoransky wasn't their leading point getter in this one. but he did everything else. The rebounding, the assists, cupping up with some steals and some plays on the defensive end. I understand if some people say, FIBA World Cup, whatever. Oh, Satoransky is the best player on his Czech Republic team. Like, how impressive is that really? I get it. It's easy to downplay it. And I'm not trying to overplay it. I'm just saying that if you are taking the time to watch these FIBA World Cup games and knowing that we were disappointed as Bulls fans that Zach LaVine did not get an invitation to even come and work out and try out. Our other big free agent addition, Thaddeus Young, got the invitation but then was cut while they were whittling down the final 12-man roster. And a lot of Bulls fans are saying, hey, some of these people that got invitations, some of the people that made the squad, And we didn't even hear a peep about Zach LaVine being invited to participate? And you're barely squeaking out wins in the group stage? So I get because of maybe your disappointment that LaVine was not on Team USA or that no Bulls made it to represent Team USA that you're less interested and less inclined to watch the World Cup. But guess what? We have a very important piece of this Bulls roster participating in this tournament. It just happens to be on a different team than Team USA. And Satoransky has looked pretty darn good in his games thus far for the Czech Republic. Now, as far as Cristiano Felicio, whatever. I mean, we can make our jokes. He is a fairly important piece to that Brazilian national team. He's been playing minutes. He's been getting some rebounds. He's been doing some things in the post because where else would he do anything? But honestly, the biggest news about Felicio or the biggest takes about Felicio as he's been active for Team Brazil in this FIBA World Cup is the fact that he is sporting a new pair of sports goggles. That's it. That's the big takeaway about Felicio being a participating member of the FIBA World Cup tournament. Rocking some goggles. Now, people saying, oh, I wonder if he's going to keep that goggles look and rep the goggles for the Bulls once the season starts. Pay a nice homage to Horace Grant, the general, the one who made the NBA goggles look so famous and so awesome. My response to that inquiry: whoa, is Felicio going to rock the goggles this year? Well, only if he feels the need to wear sports goggles while riding the bench. Because we all know Felicio's not getting any playing time. God forbid Felicio gets some playing time. You have Wendell and Lowry. You did lose Robin Lopez, but you added Thad Young. You added Luke Kornet. And you drafted Daniel Gafford in the second round. All of those options are better than Cristiano Felicio. If Cristiano Felicio is playing any amount of minutes for the Bulls this season, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. And look, I'm not trying to be too hard on him. And in much the same way that, you know, my buddy Big Dave from Outsiders rags on me for ragging on Wade for that terrible contract, saying, hey, it's not Wade's fault that the Bulls signed him to that much money. In a similar way, it's not Felicio's fault that the Bulls gave him that ridiculous four-year, $32 million deal. And at the time, some people thought that it was not that outlandish, not that crazy. We have come to know now that it was a terrible deal and a gigantic waste of money. But hey, man, it's not Felicio's fault. Whatever he did that made the Bulls feel like he earned that contract, he did. And they presented it to him, and he signed on the dotted line. So we all like to make our jokes at the expense of Felicio, and he knows that. Of course he does. And the fact that he is one of the best basketball players who can represent the country of Brazil, that's a good thing. I like having international players on Bulls rosters. It's a feel-good way to know that the sport of basketball is still just growing around the world. And I know that, you know, Jordan and I very much appreciate the fact that a lot of Bulls fans in Brazil listen to this podcast. Brazil Bulls Nation, we love you guys. We know that there are a lot of you out there. And I, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, Chris Felicio is like your boy and you stand for him and think, you know, that he's better than he is or that he should play more minutes than he does. Just happens to be one of the international players in the NBA, one of the international players on this Bulls roster. And I'm happy for him that he's getting this opportunity to play for his home country. That being the case, still, if Felicio gets minutes for the Bulls this season, oh dear God, we can only imagine how many things have gone wrong. All right, and before we get out of here, I told you all I wanted to touch on the latest NBA 2K stuff to come out over the weekend, which also represents the latest disrespect shown to the Chicago Bulls or a current member of the Chicago Bulls. We talked in last week's Bulls Outsiders podcast episode about the recent ESPN rankings, about you know, teams that could make a turnaround this season, teams that are, you know, destined to have first-time All-Stars. Bulls were nowhere to be found on either of those lists, and ESPN also had the Bulls finishing 11th in the East with just 32 wins. So there's been a lot of, whether you call it disrespect or just disregard for the Bulls as we get closer to the 1920 season, nobody's talking about him. Nobody's talking about him being relevant for this upcoming season. The most recent sign of disrespect is these NBA 2K20 specific player category ratings as far as specific skills, and the fact that the dunk ratings were released, I believe, on Saturday over this past weekend, and that Zach LaVine comes in with a 96 dunk rating in NBA 2K, which drops in a few days, which is tied for second on the list of best dunk ratings among all players in the game, with Donovan Mitchell, the 2018 slam dunk champion and young star guard for the Utah Jazz, and Zion Williamson, number one pick, New Orleans Pelican, 97 dunk rating, number one on the list. Now, like, I get it. You know, there's a lot of hype around Zion right now. And whether it would be in Duke or the McDonald's All-American dunk contest that he participated in, or, you know, even his AAU games from back in his high school days and all of those viral videos on YouTube, everybody knows that Zion Williamson is a powerful, magical dunker. He's real, real good. He also has a sponsorship deal with 2K that they announced earlier this year, in late July, I believe. So maybe there's some love there, and because Zion has this deal with 2K, they decided, well, we got to make him the best dunker. And he only edges out LaVine by 1 point. But the common rebuttal that was popping up all over Bulls Twitter, and even really among just NBA fans in general, not just Bulls fans and Zach LaVine stands and defenders, but even just NBA fans who were looking at these ratings and saying, well, right, I get the Zion hype, but, like, dude hasn't technically dunked a ball in an NBA game yet. I don't know. Did he manage to get a dunk in his one Summer League Pelicans game before he went down with that minor injury and sat the rest of Summer League? I can't recall. But if you're talking real NBA games, Zion Williamson has zero career NBA dunks. How does he have the best dunk rating? Doesn't seem right. I mean, Zach LaVine, meanwhile, had a career-high 69 dunks in his most recent season, 18-19, and that was in just 63 games played. 69 dunks, and some pretty impressive ones at that. We saw some nice LaVine dunks on breakaways and even through crowded lanes this past season, showcasing to us that he is not just a dunk contest dunker, but a pretty damn good in-game dunker too, which I feel like should be taken into account when they come up with these player ratings. Oh, and by the way, yeah, now that I mention the dunk contest dunks, Zach LaVine is a two-time slam dunk champion. you know, everybody else on the rest of this list, the people in the top five, I mentioned Donovan Mitchell, recent champion, also has a 96 rating, tie with Levine's. Aaron Gordon, Levine's greatest competitor and rival in two of the most unforgettable and entertaining dunk contests in back-to-back years. Aaron Gordon has a 95. And the most recent winner, the reigning slam dunk champion, Hamidou Diallo, has a 95 as well. So, you know, there's your top five. A bunch of dunk contest winners who are NBA players who have lots of NBA career dunks on their resume in NBA games. And Zion Williamson at the top of the list, number one. Zero dunks on his NBA resume. I like, you know, not to nitpick, I get it. It's Zion. There's a lot of hype around him. And he is an amazing dunker. It just seems a little strange. Like, really? Zach LaVine? You can't make him a 97 also? Tied for first? How hard would that have been? I guess we'll wait and see if Zion earns that top dunker rating in NBA 2K in real life this upcoming season. And I know I can't wait to watch, and I'm sure he will show us some pretty amazing dunks his rookie year. It's just fun to nitpick at NBA 2K ratings, because guess what? As I said at the beginning of this podcast, it's early September. It is the dog days of the NBA offseason. We got to find stuff to talk about, right? I got to keep myself entertained. I got to keep y'all entertained. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Do you agree with Zion having the best dunking rating in NBA 2K? Do you think Zach LaVine's should be higher or at least equal to Zion's? And do you think it matters at all? 331-979-1369 with any thoughts on that topic. Or if you want to talk to us about Thomas Satoransky's play in the FIBA World Cup so far, Cristiano Felicio, the goggles, his play for Team Brazil, or Team USA barely escaping with what would have been a very embarrassing loss in group play, just squeaking out a 1-point win over Turkey, needing overtime on Tuesday morning. Any thoughts on Team USA ball? Jason Tatum, the injury, that the conversation about players deciding to back out of this tournament and that being a very real reason why. Or the Bulls representing their native countries, Satoransky and Felicio. Any thoughts on those topics or anything else on your mind, Bulls, NBA, or basketball related? We are here for you. 331-979-1369. That Locked On Bulls text and voicemail line. As I said, hopefully Jordan and I will connect at some point later this week and hop on the mics together to do a mailbag episode for all of you guys, and hopefully put out at least another episode or two to round out the week. Hope all of you had a great Labor Day weekend and had plenty of good grilled meats, enjoyed a couple of drinks, maybe enjoyed some of that beautiful weather that we got over the weekend. Soak up that sunshine, Chicagoans. We're about to get not so summery. I was actually just watching the unveiling ceremony of the Walter Payton and George Halas statues at Soldier Field earlier this morning, and looked pretty overcast and gloomy and windy over there at Soldier Field, which is perfect for Bears football being right around the corner. Holy smokes, I am so stoked for Thursday. Bears Packers. What could be better? Just a quick shout out. Speaking of that, to go check out Lauren Cox, the great work he does over at Locked On Bears. And check out Locked On Cubs. Sean Sears, my guy, and Ryan Davis doing great work over Locked On Cubs as Cubs fans are sweating and biting their nails to see whether or not they can come back and win the division over the Cardinals, or at least get themselves a wild card spot as we near the home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. So Locked On Bears, Locked On Cubs, give them a follow, give them a listen, check them out. Until next time, Bulls Nation, thank you as always so much for listening, especially in these off-season months where not a whole lot's going on. We appreciate y'all. We try to be here for y'all as often as we can. And I look forward to talking to you next time. For Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, see you, Red. Be good. We out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com